In a world where podcasts have become lame and stale.
And now we see on line 33 of the Louisiana tax code that
two men have come to kick it up a notch.
And you see these tax code laws are in place. They're like, who the hell are you?
Ben Heckendorf.
Tell me where the president's dog is.
I will never tell you where the president's dog is.
Tell me or I'll shoot you in the foot.
Never!
Jason Jones.
What the hell is that?
It's a giant asteroid, man. Headed directly toward Earth.
How much time is left to stop it?
One day.
That's six more than I need.
From the internet that brought you a dancing baby and spyware comes the BenHeck.com podcast. On a good day, it's a great podcast. On a bad day, it's the best there is.
Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. Episode 42, I think. I am your host, Ben Heckendorn.
I am Jason Jones. I'm just eating a very dry hamburger, so bear with me.
Yes, I left the grill on high.
Well, that happens.
I didn't want anyone to get mad cow disease on my accord.
Well, thank you for looking out for my best interests, whatever they may be.
That's why I'm here. All right, today's episode, we are not going to talk about anything video game related at all.
Yay!
I had a topic idea, and then we kind of came up with a couple other topics, and they all ended up being about movies. And I know not always people... I know people don't always like that, but oh well. Yeah, so here are our topics for today. Topic one is the fact that we're going to discuss how there's no good musical scores in movies anymore. Because there aren't.
Right.
Topic two, Blu-ray discs are too expensive.
Horribly expensive. Apparently, though, according to a fairly nonchalant Best Buy employee, or whatever you want to call him, he said that they're still selling well.
Especially since HD DVD died.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know if I buy it.
And finally, the third topic is Hollywood's dwindling box office theatrical returns.
Yay!
Yes, we shall discuss. All right, let's see. So those are going to be our topics. If they don't sound very interesting, I guess you can leave now. What were we going to... Oh, yeah, then we do, like, games we've been playing and gaming news, right? It's been a while since we actually did an audio podcast, like a month, so...
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah.
So we had the Midwest Gaming Classic in there and all
that goodness.
Oh,
yes.
Well, I guess one interesting thing with gaming news is the ongoing battle between, I guess, Activision and EA with regards to Guitar Hero versus Rock Band. And, like, this week, I guess it was last week, it was kind of, like, leaked or Activision announced that, oh, hey, we're awesome, we're going to have this single off the new Def Leppard album debut on Guitar Hero on, like, April 24th. And so it was going to be, like, the first time, you know, that a single off a new album was going to show up on a video game. And then yesterday, Harmonix for Rock Band released a single for the new Motley Crue album for, like, a buck.
Did you download it?
Not yet, no. I haven't even touched my 360 in a while, but...
That's hard to believe.
Yes, it's actually been like almost 2 weeks now.
Intervention!
Yes, but so they kind of stepped up and one-upped Activision, I guess, by bringing out the single first. Although it's interesting that it's, you know, Motley Crue and Def Leppard, which are bands that haven't been relevant for well over a decade. But... I guess it's kind of cool that at least, you know, it looks like bands are seeing that there is, you know, it's like a new avenue for them to get their content out to a new audience or whatever, so.
Don't you ever get tired of the word content?
Sure.
I do.
It's one of those overly used words, I suppose. But although supposedly when Metallica's new album comes out, I guess there's going to be... Wow. Sorry, I got distracted by your instant messenger dongs going off through the headset here.
Lame.
When people come online. But, yeah, I guess Metallica, when they come out with their new album, supposedly like a single or a couple of songs from it are going to be debuted on Rock Band. So that's a little more significant band there to be doing that.
Barely.
Yeah. They still sell a lot of records.
Yeah, but it's not like Fall Out Boy or Mariah Carey or Mariah Carey.
Well, yeah, despite Metallica...
Yeah, talk about a comeback.
Yeah, because her last album sold pretty big after her career was in the toilet for a while, so...
Yeah.
But,
So just think, Shania Twain or Celine Dion, after your marriages to a much, much older music executive fail, and then your career goes down the toilet, there is hope. What about this Wii Fit thing that's coming out soon?
I haven't heard shit about that since, like, it got announced at that... I don't know if that was E3 or what the heck it was at that it got...
Apparently it's expected to sell like hotcakes.
Oh, it probably will. And I'm sure a lot of, you know, like, places, like fitness clubs and stuff will probably buy Wii's and have them there so people can pay for their fitness club membership to come in and play a video game. Yeah.
Lame! I thought video games were supposed to be about fun.
It'll happen. I guarantee that'll happen. You'll see it.
It seems to me like some sort of, like, any other thing in the fitness club would be more of a workout than sitting on a board.
I would think, yeah.
Couldn't you just go down to the sawmill and buy a board and sit on it and do push-ups on it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, see, what exactly do you do on the Wii Fit? You just kind of, like, step on it or what?
Yeah, I don't know if you'll do, like, step exercises and crap. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see.
I don't think I want to see.
Well, obviously. And then I'll get Mario Kart Wii, even though I'm sure it's, you know, the same game I played, like, what, 13, 14 years ago on the Super Nintendo.
I don't think I'll have had time to put it on this podcast, but, yeah, I've got the Mario Cop Tokyo Drift intro coming.
Yeah, that's pretty soon. Isn't that, like, the end of this month or something that comes out?
Yeah.
It's going to try to go up against Grand Theft Auto or something?
Well, it's gonna obviously it'll sell better. Grand Theft Auto is going to... Well, I know I've said this several times, maybe not on the podcast, but May is going to be a bellwether month for the next-gen gaming industry. Because you've got a huge game coming out, Grand Theft Auto, which is supposed to, like, just smash records. And, don't forget, the Xbox and every home check that the government is sending out.
Yep, that's supposed to start showing up next month and into June, I guess. So, yeah.
I figured out what's wrong with our economy. Every American does not yet have an Xbox or PlayStation or perhaps a Wii. Therefore, it is my intention to print money, give it to our citizens so they can send it to China to send us more things. This is what we need. And you, I mean, who is it, Tim, that the first, well, first and only time I heard it called that, but I
yeah,
like it.
Yeah, Xbox he came up with the Xbox check. And every home check. Yeah. It is funny, though, because I thought of that also. I didn't, you know, put it in those terms, but when I heard about the $600 thing, I'm like, I could see a lot of people going out and buying, you know, PlayStation 3s or Xboxes with it.
I'm going to take it and put it in the bank and say, oh, I got some of my money back.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm going to do with it, too.
Yep. So, but you know, that's what people do with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know. They won't save it because they're Americans. Oh, yeah, I just ripped on our whole country.
Well, they're not supposed to save it, though. You know, they're supposed to inject it back into the economy, you know.
Yeah, let's start with our first one about no good music and movies these days. I know people would like probably like to hear us talk about the weak dollar and Captain Capitalism all day.
Maybe they would. Who knows?
I just realized early on in life that all that really matters is money.
It's and true. It's sad because money sucks at the same time, but it is what matters, I guess.
Right. I mean, you just look at any situation. Why did this happen? Money. Maybe sex. Mostly money.
Generally money, yeah.
It just makes things a lot simpler when you don't look for some highfalutin psychological reason.
Yeah.
There will be blood. Okay, Michael Scott.
Yes. Rent it now.
I drink your milkshake! Okay.
Okay, so, like, shitty or lack of good music in films.
Right.
We're talking about, like, scores and stuff here.
Right. When was the... Okay, listeners, when was the last time you saw a movie and actually kind of remembered or remembered liking the musical score? You know, maybe we're jaded because we grew up in the 80s where there's all sorts of great memorable scores.
Yeah.
But no, actually, I think they all suck now.
Wow.
Well, think about it. Every score, it's either like Hans Zimmer or Danny Elfman. And Danny Elfman used to be cool, but now everything he makes is always like...
Yeah,
actually, that was kind of like Beetlejuice right there.
Yeah, it's cool like, is score. This really the guy who did the Batman score?
Well, like, listen to like... Spider-Man. Okay, granted, Spider-Man 2, one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, God.
What? It is!
Would you let go of that? It is
never! Look, think about it. You have, okay, Kirsten Dunst, who's in all the greatest movies, J.K. Simmons, who's awesome, a guy with robotic tentacles that light cigars, awesome, your hero, Elizabeth Banks, and
a completely lame ending.
Okay, the ending is a little weak, but...
I mean, really, that's my only fault with that movie, is about, like, the last 20 minutes of it.
But what about the end of Casablanca? He didn't get to boink What's-Her-Face. What kind of an ending is that?
But it's cool.
I'm just saying, you know, some people might find that disappointing. It's like, get on the plane, Reek! He's like, no, I'm going to shoot a Nazi instead, which is a good thing to do.
Exactly.
Whenever possible.
He knew what needed to be done.
I did tell Jones if I saw Spider-Man 2 on Blu-ray that wasn't part of a pack, oh yeah, I'd buy that.
Yeah, it sucks. Apparently you can only get it, like, in a pack with all three Spider-Man movies.
Which means you'd have to buy Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. And it was like $90. Well, I guess that's in our second topic, so we'll save it for then.
Okay. Right, so even when you have someone like Danny Elfman, who's usually pretty cool, he does a score for Spider-Man. It's, you know, serviceable, but not really that memorable.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the olden days. You obviously would have a movie like Star Wars.
Well, you even have stuff like Lawrence of Arabia, of course.
Oh, yeah.
An amazing score.
Jaws.
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Like, anything Ennio Morricone did, like, in the 60s, you know, is pretty much gold.
All right, so when would you say the... and then, of course, Indiana Jones, Back to the Future, Batman.
Yeah.
All these movies that had great musical scores.
Yeah.
All the Disney movies. So when did it start to go south? Like, in the 90s,
90s,
maybe?
I would say.
Like,
I don't know if there's any, like,
Zimmer.
Bellwether moment or anything, you know, but it's... Maybe it's about the same time, you know, that movies stopped, you know, focusing on the story and started, you know, focusing more on effects and all that crap. And because it's like, I don't know, you know, in the older days, you know, the score definitely was like an integral part of the film, where now it seems like it's just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I guess we need some music in this movie and, you know, poop something out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely something that's missing in modern movies. And this will kind of tie into our dwindling box office. But, you know, when you go into a movie and the movie's good and it's got a great score that is memorable, and then the score is playing over the credits and you're walking out and you're like, wow, you know, that was a movie.
Yeah.
Now it's all like this generic Hans Zimmer-like bullshit.
Or half the time it's just like freaking music. You know, like they just stick, you know, songs in that are on the... you know, Billboard charts or something.
Like that,
know,
Salisbury Hill song?
Sure. Those are Cameron Crowe movies. Where they're just a, you know, smattering of 70s and 80s rock music or something. I don't know, but...
Okay, like, what's a recent movie that should have had a good score but didn't and it's not memorable?
Well, to me, it's kind of pathetic because the movies that have had really memorable, great scores that I've seen recently... Well, I suppose it shouldn't be surprising, but they didn't get nominated for Oscars or anything like that, which was...
Such as?
There'll Be Blood had a pretty cool, pretty distinctive score, and they had some bullshit reason for why it was ineligible, and then the year before, The Fountain had a really awesome score, but did not get nominated, probably because most of the Academy members probably didn't bother to watch it or whatever, but again, those are more... artsy films that were made by, I don't want to say real filmmakers, you know, but people who treat filmmaking more like art than popcorn or whatever, and so that's why they respect the place that music holds in a movie still. But, you know, most stuff, you know, like we were talking about earlier, probably, and this isn't even really a recent movie anymore because it's almost 10 years old, but, like, The Mummy had a pretty awesome score.
That's probably the last best one I could think of.
You know, and that was, what, 99 when that came out,
yeah.
I think?
But that had, you know, an old master, Jerry Goldsmith. He was awesome.
The man.
Think about how many awesome scores he did. I mean, just like, you had Planet of the Apes,
yep.
Patton, Total Recall, Gremlins, The Burbs.
Yeah.
The Mummy. What else?
Didn't he do, like, Conan the Barbarian? Like, that cool Anvil of Crumb.
Did he?
So I thought he did Conan. Maybe.
Poltergeist, he did.
Yeah, he was kind of like one of the unsung masters. You know, he wasn't like, you know, John Williams, where he's like a household name or anything, but he pretty
I think,
much
you know, in a lot of ways, Jerry
goods.
Goldsmith is probably even better, because John Williams tends to parody himself.
Yeah, he mines his own stuff a lot.
Right, whereas Jerry Goldsmith, you know it's all his because it's awesome and weird.
Yeah. Yeah, like in the Harry Potter movies even, like Williams did the first couple of those, and you know, those are movies that would lend themselves to probably having a distinctive score or whatever.
And it was fairly distinctive.
But, I mean, there was only one bit of it was ever memorable for me, and that's like the music that plays when Harry first goes into Diagon Alley or whatever in the first movie. It's just like this kind of like, it goes like, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. And I just, I don't know, I remember that music for some reason, but the rest of it's all, like, forgettable, pretty much.
Here's one. Pirates of the Caribbean had a fairly, maybe not necessarily memorable, but a good rousing score.
Fit the movie well, yeah.
And people liked it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a connection.
Yeah, it's...
You know, where is our new Jerry Goldsmith?
Yeah, where's Jerry Goldsmith? Where's John Williams? You know,
where's old Danny Elfman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Old Danny, I mean, Danny Elfman is, I mean, it seems like he does every other movie these days.
Yeah, it's,
but
he's like turning into John Williams, because God, for a while there, it was like Williams, I don't know when the hell that guy slept. It's like he'd, you know, have scores in like 10 movies in a year and shit, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of insane.
But, you know, Danny Elfman had a lot of cool stuff. Now it's just like, seems like he does so much, nothing of it, none of it's really memorable anymore. And I didn't see that killer barber movie or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that either.
Of course, he did the score for Chicago, which is pretty cool. I like that movie a lot.
And I like stuff like, you know, Howard Shore's score for, like, Ed Wood is, you know, fun and quirky and fits the movie well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got one. What about James Newton Howard? He had some interesting stuff.
Yeah, he's usually pretty solid. Like, I think he's the one that did American Beauty, which was
and Signs.
Good, and Signs, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, is Ennio Morricone still alive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he still stuff out every now and then, too.
He should, like, you know, reanimate the corpse of Jerry Goldsmith and show these people what for.
Yeah, he's just a god. It's like, that's what was awesome when he got his Lifetime Achievement Award a couple of years ago at the Oscars. Like, that was, you know, they usually give the person a pretty good, you know, ovation, but like him, you know, the crowd just went nuts for her because it was like so obvious that, you know, he probably should have won 3 or 4 of the things over the course of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd never won one before, and it was really cool. I mean, it's like, you know, like The Untouchables, they did the score for that. That's a really cool score.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then of course Once Upon a Time in the West, Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, all those, and De Palma uses him quite a bit, actually, for, like, The Untouchables, and, like, Mission to Mars, even, which, you know, wasn't a very good movie, but Ennio tried to do something with it, and, yeah, it's, but yeah, those, you know, masters like that, you know, like, Goldsmith died, and, you know, Ennio's days are probably not too much longer, and
don't say that. Just like 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how old Chuck Heston was getting, and 2 days later, he died.
Yeah, it was actually the next day, because it was, but didn't hear about it till the Sunday or whatever. But yeah, we grilled out or something, just hanging out with a friend of ours and all that, and then Planet of the Apes happened to come on TV, and I think you said
Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah, I think you said something like, God, is he even still alive? Or, you know, like, what's he even doing now? And I was like, well, about a month ago I heard he was in the last stages of Alzheimer's, and then, like, you know, just a couple days later, oh, Charlton Heston died. It's like,
now
damn.
You just killed Ennio Morricone.
No! You have to, like, delete that off of the
now podcast. Now you're going to have to go into an insane asylum, like, in the Amadeus movie. You remember?
Well, that'd be cool if I was in something like Amadeus. That's an awesome freaking movie.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
I am one of the Nordsianic Six, which means nothing to anybody, but...
Oh, no, we had to talk about it now. Because there's probably some lost fans that listen to this show.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Nordsianic Six, I guess, it came out of this thing where we've got a friend, Dale, who is getting married, like, in another
co-writer
month.
Of Port Washington.
Yes, and showed up in various bit roles in the movie, and he... It's getting married, but it was like this mystery kind of for a while who was in his wedding party, because like me and Ben knew we were in it, and then we knew like one other person, but then all of a sudden out of the blue one day,
Dave Campbell
found out he was in the wedding, like just, I don't know, maybe 3-4 weeks ago or something like that, and then, so Ben's like, God, I wonder if there's any more of them. He's like, hey, it's like the Nordsianic Six, like the whole Lost thing with the Oceanic Six, because slowly members of the wedding party were being revealed or whatever.
Yeah, Dale Nortz's wedding party. So then last week I went in to get the tux thing, and the guy had this list of who was going to get tux fittings for Dale's wedding, and I'm like, oh, it's the Nordsianic Six list! And, you know, I looked at it, it was like, you know, Aaron, Saeed, Kate.
Yes. That would be cool if Kate would show up.
Yes! So anyway, I actually took a picture of it with my camera phone so I would know who the Nordsianic Six were.
So now we know, and it was funny because it actually wound up that there were six people on the list.
Yeah, I
mean,
I just...
we didn't know.
Yeah. So then I told Jones that he was going to, like, crash his car into a fruit stand and get arrested. He's like, I'm one of the Nordsianic Six!
And then Ben's going to be an assassin or something like
yep,
Saeed,
I want to be Saeed.
I guess, so.
Yep.
Who like, wouldn't want to be Saeed?
I am an assassin. I don't know. I mean, he gets to kill people, and it seems like he gets laid a lot, but his girlfriends always die.
Well, that is true. That's kind of a problem.
Oh, remember, like, didn't he, like, fall in love with some woman in Iraq, and then she died?
She's still alive.
Oh, that's right, because she captured him.
Because remember, he was trying... That was why he was on the plane, was to go to Los Angeles to meet her. Because she's, like, going to school there or something. But she can still die.
Yeah, she can still die because she's a woman who knew Saeed.
Yes, which just never bodes well for anyone, apparently.
The Nordsianic Six.
Yes, there's our little Lost detour. That's right, weren't we going to have, like, we talked about maybe sometime just having an episode where we just talk about Lost?
You could have several episodes like that.
That would be kind of fun.
I know they talked about it knocked up. Yeah, someone needs to kick... the doctor's ass. He's such a douchebag.
I keep waiting for Sawyer to beat his ass.
Yes!
Because that would be cool.
You know, that's what people want to see.
Sawyer's awesome.
Does he even have a nickname for the doctor?
I don't know. I think he just usually calls him
Doc. Because
he has,
like, deep dish and freckles and...
Yeah.
And all these different... deep dish, that was a good one. That was for Hurley.
Yeah, Hurley's got about 50 names for it.
Anyway.
It is an awesome show.
Yes, season 4 has been pretty satisfying. It's coming back next week. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That was great when Saeed's like, they know they're onto us. Or they know we're onto them. And then Ben's like, good. Like, very emperor-like. Ben should kick Jack's ass. Benry, he's
awesome. Jack already kicked his ass, like, at least once.
I know, I feel sorry for him. Everyone beats him up.
Yeah, so far, like, Saeed beat the shit out of him, like, at the very, you know, way back
Locke
in season 2 or whatever.
Too, hasn't he?
I think he might have a little...
Of course, he shot Locke, remember, in his missing kidney.
Yeah.
So Benry got some revenge.
But yeah, then Jack beat the shit out of him at the end of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Just piss-pounded him. Sawyer beat the shit out of him in season 4.
The French lady shot him with a dart, didn't she? That's when they
first
caught him.
Yeah, that was when
him.
They first caught him.
See, everyone, they just beat him up, but he's the only one who knows whatever. And
poor French lady.
Oh, that's right. Spoiler warning.
Yeah.
North Seattle 6. I think it's kind of a cop-out that Aaron was in the North Seattle 6. He's just a baby. Does that count?
Yeah. It's not like he's a key character or anything. Or is he?
Dun, dun, dun. Dun. Lost logo. Well, maybe we should move on to our next topic.
Blu-ray of Evil.
So, yes. Long story short. Oh, we did. It was funny. We were just talking about Lost. Michael Giacchino, he's a pretty good composer.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad. Doesn't he do, like, some video game stuff,
yeah,
too?
He did Medal of Honor and Call of Duty, and yeah. Then he also does Lost, and I think he also did...
Yeah, Lost has good music, like...
Mission Impossible 3, and I'm pretty sure he's doing Star Trek as well.
Yeah, I would imagine with the Abrams hookup.
So maybe he could be the new Jerry Goldsmith.
Yeah, we need one of those. Yes. If you're listening, Mike, become the new Jerry Goldsmith.
I remember the Medal of Honor theme. It went dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Not that anybody makes movies like Total Recall anymore, but...
They should. Hey, remember Minority Report was supposed to be Total Recall, too, at one time.
Really?
You knew that. No, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. Just like Die Hard was supposed to be Commando, too. My daughter is in that high-rise building. I've got to get her out. Guess where the building is? California! Welcome! Welcome to California!
Oh,
where
God,
can
that's.
You start?
I gotta find that ad again and watch it. It's just so funny. How he's just, like, strutting down that beach with, like, Maria on his arm, and he's just like, Welcome to California!
Did you ever see the one that had, like, Clint Eastwood and Bruce Willis in it?
I think I did, because isn't, like, Bruce Willis on a golf course?
Clint's on a golf course, and Bruce Willis, who I didn't recognize the first few times, he's, like, playing a guitar at a campfire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that one. Good times.
Yeah.
It's like it makes me want to go to California.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's like, I will get all three of the other Republican actors to be in my advertisement. Except for Mel Gibson, because he's crazy.
We'll get everyone to come to
California. Coincidence!
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy, obviously. Okay.
Mel is awesome, though.
Oh, Clint, he could be the next one. You probably don't even want to hear me say that.
No!
He's only like, okay, I'll shut up. That would suck really badly.
He actually composes music now for his movies and
stuff.
Well,
he can do anything.
He can. He does it all.
Didn't he have to, like, break Hilary Swank's nose or something in that one movie where she was boxer woman?
Million Dollar Baby?
Yes.
Boxer woman.
Oh, that's right, that game we came up with.
Yeah.
Here's a fun game for you all to try.
Yes. We'll give you some examples to get you started.
If you want to have fun sometime, well, I don't know how much fun it is. Try to think of extremely simple names for movies and then see if your friends can guess what movie you're talking about, such as Broken Spaceship.
What could it be? I think it's Apollo 13.
Yes. Or Upside Down Boat.
Also known as Poseidon.
How about Whip Guy?
Indiana Jones, of course. Yeah, we spent... God, that was like a whole day, I think. We were at, like, some sort of job or something, and we had to... It was pretty mindless, so we were trying to find ways to amuse ourselves, and I don't even know how that started to happen, but we just started throwing out, like, goofy names, or we...
I remember you came up with Broken Space.
Yeah, I came up with that. Well, there was Time Car for Back to the Future. Because at first we'd, like, say
oh,
a movie.
Wizard Boy.
Yep. Real Harry Potter. Because, like, at first we started with, like, saying a movie name and then trying to come up with a title for it. But then after a while we changed it to where you'd just come up with some simple title and then people had to figure out what the hell movie it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole premise was that, like, movie titles don't really tell you what the hell the movie is really about.
Right. Which they don't quite often.
Yeah.
Did we come up with... Oh, and Walmart Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Was Where, the,
where
heart
the Heart Is.
Is.
And then Ten Commandments was Mean Pharaoh.
Oh,
so there you go.
Right. What else did we... Oh, Finding Nemo was Lost Fish.
Yeah.
It's like, what's this movie about? I guess it's about a lost fish.
Oh, well, I'll see that.
Here's my money. Oh, okay.
So there you go, a fun game.
Yes.
When you're around, like, fellow movie geeks or something.
You're a geek, right? Did we ever talk about that story on here?
I don't know if we have or not.
Queen of the Damned. Did we watch that, remember, for shitty movie night?
Oh, God. It was pretty bad.
It was Dale. Dale and I went to the opening night of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, because I remember I wasn't there for this.
And that was hilarious because the whole place was filled with geeks.
Well, of course.
And so the Queen of the Damned trailer was on, and this guy was sitting next to Dale, and he turns to him like, oh, you're a geek, right? Just matter-of-factly, Dale's like, the best part was, like, Dale didn't miss a beat. He's like, yeah. And the guy's like, this is a Queen of the Damned movie. Is that like an Anne Rice thing? And Dale's like, yes. And that was the movie where she says, join us or die.
Ugh.
But then she died.
Yes.
Maybe Fun fact.
Maybe nobody joined her.
All right, Blu-rays.
Ugh.
Did it cost too much money?
I think so.
Yeah, we were looking at prices online, then we were looking at them at Best Buy today, and
yeah, it's
kind of a lot.
Ridiculous.
Like $30 is the average.
Yeah, the cheapest you can find is like $25. Like, I saw stuff like Blood Diamond and, you know, stuff that's not that old of a movie, you know, you could get for like $25. But then you got stuff like I Am Legend, which is like $35. Juno just came out yesterday. That's like on sale for $30 for the first
week. You mean High School Baby?
Yeah. And that'll be $35 after this week, and I'm like, you know, I remember I was a pretty early adopter on DVD. Like, I bought my first player back in 99, so it was within, you know, a couple of years of the format starting out, and I don't remember very many discs being beyond $25. Most of them were $20 or $25, and about the only stuff that was beyond that was like the Criterion Collection discs, which are kind of like a niche, high-end collector type thing anyways. But, I don't know, we were sitting there and this dude at Best Buy came by and he's like, oh, do you guys need help with anything? And then Ben's just like, do people actually buy these for this price? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And we were like, oh, okay. And, I don't know, I just... it seems like, you know, $35 seems like a hell of a lot of money for a movie. And I'm like a big movie guy, too.
Well, let's take 25 and multiply it by 1.25.
What is that?
Well, that kind of
goes
with the rate of inflation.
Although the interesting thing we then saw over at Circuit City is we saw some of their, you know, recently released DVDs. They're beyond being out a week or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, Dan in Real Life, which was $30 on Blu-ray, was $22 on regular DVD.
Well, DVDs are made out of petroleum, you know.
Yes. So this was Ben's new theory here or whatever, is that, you know, the rising oil prices, maybe they're impacting this stuff, too.
Oh, Jones and I also have a bet on that.
Yes. I bet him 50 cents that, you know, price is going to hit $4 a gallon this
in
summer.
In Wisconsin, where we live. Those are
yep.
the disclaimers.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't pull...
Well, yeah, if it was in the U.S.,
Milwaukee.
California would already have gotten me my bet money, because I think it's already $4 out there.
When can you start? Come to California. You won't be able to afford to live here. But I'm your governor.
It's a good thing you didn't bet on diesel, because that's already at like $4.14 in Richland
the
Center.
Other running bet is Indiana Jones opening weekend, which I'm going to win.
Yeah, didn't you adjust that for inflation or something?
Oh, I've adjusted that like three
it?
Times, because that's an ancient bet. We were talking about that. Like
that was back like when Blade 2 came out.
Oh, yeah, we first came up with that bet. And I said this will be Indiana Jones will be the first movie to... make over $100 million opening weekend.
Yeah, because it was before Spider-Man had come along or any of the others that have
right.
since obliterated that barrier.
Right, so that I re-upped the bet to $150 million opening weekend, which it will do.
Please.
It will.
I think I said I figure I could see it doing like $120.
Well, Star Wars Episode 3 made $150-something. Like Spider-Man did.
Yeah, that's because Star Wars is cool.
Oh, please.
Indiana Jones is cool too, but not on the same level.
I don't know.
I know you're a big Raiders fan, so
yeah, I don't remember Jar Jar Binks being in any Indiana Jones movie. Well, they did have
that's why
Kate
they're not
Capshaw.
As cool.
Oh man,
can you see Jar Jar and Indy kicking it? Jar Jar could, like, whip his ears around and shit.
We still gonna fight some Nazis? I'm old.
Now he's gonna fight communists, apparently.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to make another Indiana Jones intro spoof for the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, the Blu-rays are too much money. I mean, there's only one Blu-ray that I would think about buying in the near future. And, of course, that is...
Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, because I was like... Yeah, I don't know, maybe people just don't care, or they don't, you know, think back in time. And I suppose people can say, you know, maybe being hypocritical, because, you know, many podcasts ago... You know, I said, oh, it's no big deal that, you know, you're paying $60 for a video game now instead of $50, blah, blah, blah. And some people could say, well, why is it a big deal to pay, you know, $30 for a DVD now instead of $20 or whatever?
Well, it's actually probably more of an increase, isn't it?
I would say so, but...
Because you're talking about, what would that be, like a 20% increase, and this is more of like a 25 or 30% increase?
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. This is going to be one of those times where I'm going to definitely hold back for quite a while, because even as big of a movie geek as I am, I cannot justify spending that kind of money on a movie. I mean, if it was like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, yeah, I could spend $30 on that, but most movies, no. And maybe that's a good thing. It'll save me money. I guess I can look at it that way.
Well, then, what about the point I brought up when we were at Best Buy? Which I think was actually fairly valid. The NTSC broadcasting standard in America, DVD was the first home consumer format that actually could use all the resolution that it had.
Yeah.
So here you had this format that's literally been around since the 30s. And just in the later 90s, we finally have a home consumer format that like gives you all that it can provide, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, I guess the way you can look at it is DVD came in at the very tail end of standard television's life,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas Blu-ray is right here, right now, for HGTV, which probably won't have a 70-year life like the old signal did,
yeah.
but it's just now starting. So, I think in a way, in the long term, it might actually have a longer life than DVD. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
I guess it depends on digital downloads and all that crap.
Well, I guess my point is...
I see what you're saying, though, because...
TVs are on their way out.
Yeah, and HD's going to be here for a long time, in theory.
Right.
And so this is the... Blu-ray will be the format that, you know, fully utilizes HD.
Well, especially since they have to get everyone to, like, switch their TVs. They
yeah.
certainly can't make them switch again in...
Yeah, like 6 years later or something, yeah.
Right, I mean, you know, when people first got their DVD players, they were using them on the same TVs they used with their VHS players.
Yeah.
Whereas this is more of a quantum shift.
Although a lot of people are, you know, like we've said in other podcasts, a lot of people are still perfectly content with their DVDs still. Like,
well,
they haven't, you know, there's been surveys by these, you know, high-def groups or whatever and stuff, and... It was something like 60 to 70% of people surveyed said they were perfectly happy with their DVDs, and that's the real format war. I mean, you know, Blu-ray, HD, DVD, yeah, was a bit of a battle, but the real war is going to be convincing people to.
Yeah, well, people might
step
have said that
Blu-ray.
About VHS about 10 years ago or 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, if you have a, you know, if like, you have a large TV, there is a definite difference between Blu-ray and DVD.
Yeah. But like we've said before, too, you know, it's with Blu-ray to DVD compared to DVD to VHS, you know, in terms of...
The only thing that's changed is the resolution's been increased. There's
yeah,
no new features.
Like sound, you know, is
right, basically just has better resolution.
But it's like, you know, with DVD from VHS, of course, you had all the great stuff where, oh, you know, you get special features now, you don't have to rewind it. You know, it looks way better, it sounds way better, where now, you know, if you have the right equipment at home, it'll sound a lot better, and it'll look a lot better, you know, but, I don't know, to technical people, there's a huge leap from DVD to Blu-ray, but for most people, I don't think there is, so,
Well,
and
of
these
course,
high
and why
prices.
Did most people... Well, do you think most people even care about, like, special features and whatnot? I mean, to yeah. them, the big advantage of DVD is probably that just, like,
yeah, most
smaller...
People, yeah, I think most people like bloopers and maybe deleted scenes. I think those are probably the ones that most people will actually watch. You know, like, geeks like us will watch, you know, the commentary or listen to the commentary tracks.
Well, like,
Dale
is a
things.
Huge, ridiculous DVD fan, and he doesn't even listen to commentary tracks.
Yeah.
I like to.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're fun.
There, you paid for it.
Exactly. It's like I say with my car, I use my signals and shit because I paid for them.
Exactly.
More people should do it. But yeah, so I don't know, I, you know, like, I don't know, maybe there's some people that just don't care, but for me, I think it's, like, even when I, you know, did take the leap to HD DVD, I told myself I'm not paying more than $20 per disc, and I stuck to that.
I've been saying all along, it's just, well, even though I think it potentially has more of a future because HDTV will be around longer
yeah.
than regular TV was during DVD's lifetime, if that makes any sense. However, for now, it's basically the new Laserdisc, because Laserdisc used to be like $40 bucks even like 15 years ago. People bought them, just, you know, niche market.
Yeah, I found it interesting, though, that like when we went to Circuit City, because we didn't even go by the DVDs in Best Buy, but that they were a little bit higher, you know, like $22 for Dan in Real Life, and I can't remember what other ones were there, you know, where... You know, before it would have...
Yeah, the average is like $21.99.
Yeah, where before it was like $19.99 was more the regular price, and then if you bought it like the first week, you know, you could get some hot deal or whatever.
Could be so inflation.
Yeah, it could be, I suppose. I don't know. It's
because
kinda,
don't you know we're going to be paying $5 for a loaf of bread this summer?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That'll probably suck. God, if a loaf of bread's going to be that much, how much is a gallon of milk going to be?
Well, like, it's less than a gallon of gas.
But maybe it'll be like $15 for a gallon of milk. Stock up now.
Why do people dwell on bad things like that? I mean,
that's because that's all there is in the news. That's why my new... I didn't make it a New Year's resolution, but I'm making it like a April Fool's resolution or something. I don't know. Is that I am steering clear of the media... Because whether it's the newspaper
Look,
or...
I bet if I go to Yahoo right now, there'll be some bad
it's
story.
It's going to be some bad news, yeah.
Let's see what the bad news is. Sex abuse scandal hurts the church. Lower standards. Okay, DNA freeze man who spent almost 23 years in prison. That's pretty cool.
Wow, that is, like, good news out of bad.
Yeah. But normally, every day you go on Yahoo, it's some bad economic or... It's either economic, oil, or gas, or housing.
Yeah, it's just like freaking... Oh, great, I can start the day out with a total downer. Awesome.
I know, why do... It's like people wallow in the bad news. I mean, it's like no, I know, you know, you and Mike were like, oh, who says it, like, but the thing about bread? I know a couple of people who actually, I've heard say that.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one guy say that.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, first of all, it's complete bullshit. Second of all... Why go around spreading this bullshit? It's like, oh, it's so bad, it's so bad. I mean, it's one thing, you know, oh, Britney Spears is, you know, driving with a baby in her lap.
Yeah.
That's kind of bad, but, like, bread is going to be $5 a gallon, or bread is
$5
a gallon.
Wow.
It's like, why do you want to, like, wallow in this misery that you heap upon yourself? Isn't there enough problems in life without trying to, like, seek out more?
Well, that was, like, I said something to my mom the other day about that, and she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, yeah, I looked in the paper this morning, and there was a story in there, you know, like on the front page, something about two little babies had been found dead or something, so they're trying to, you know, find the parents, because of course they're the suspects or something. I don't know what the hell it was, but, you know, two dead babies. And then the other headline story was that, like, a couple hundred people at Famous Footwear were losing their jobs because they're moving the headquarters from here down to Missouri or something like that. And I'm like, wow. So we got dead babies and a bunch of people getting laid off.
I guess bad news sells.
I guess. It's like, I like hearing about good news, you know, like hearing about some dog that jumped in the river and saved a drowning boy or something, you know. It's like, why aren't there more stories like that? Because I
know
that
what?
Shit
it's
happens.
It's probably like, look at American Idol. I mean, I don't watch it, but I think people are more...
Yeah, they want to see
who gets kicked off and bitched at.
Gets
and who
ridiculed
wins.
And everything, yeah. It's like, ugh.
It's almost like people like to project their misery onto other things.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. So, yep, so that's my thing now, because I'm like, you know, used to be I'd wake up every morning to, like, NPR, and every morning on there, I mean, it's good stuff, you know, if you want to be informed to listen to, but it's like every freaking day it's like, you know, somebody blew themselves up in Baghdad and killed a bunch of people, some army helicopter crashed and five Marines died.
Right, the problem is, you know, it's this like, bad stuff, ugh. You know, if you have like a teacher who does a really good job, that doesn't make the news.
No.
It's got to be something bad. It's got to be blood and explosions and guts and bodies. That's what gets on the news.
Yeah, or some teacher, you know, that slept with her, you know, 14-year-old student or something, you know, that makes the news. But
right.
Some teacher that made a difference in their children's
like this whole recession thing. I think a lot of it is just, you know, on the news every day where they talk about it, it self-propels itself in a way.
Yeah, it's self-perpetuating.
It's like, oh, recession? I'm not going to... Well, I know we talked about the money thing, but, oh, that's terrible. I'm not going to spend any money, even though money being spent is what makes the economy go.
Yep.
Or,
Yep, the good old self-fulfilling prophecy.
Like, you know, with, like, gas prices, I think... You know, anyone that's really, really hurt by it because of the vehicle they drive, gas has been going up, like, stupidly for about the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, there's been plenty of time to change your vehicle.
Right.
I did.
I told my cousin, like, four years ago, she was buying that thing. I'm like, don't buy an SUV. Gas is only going to keep going up.
Yeah.
And it has.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my other thing is that... You know, people complain. I think it's also funny that people complain about fuel prices, but then there's this whole going green thing.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? If fuel prices continue to increase, people will go green because of that. So isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
I know that's what people don't want to hear, but it'll happen.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, the gas prices and all the shortages in the 70s, that's what gave us all the four bangers in the early 80s, which a lot of the younger listeners probably don't even remember. But there was a time when you couldn't find a V8 or a V6 near you to save your life.
Yeah.
People still managed to get to work.
Yeah, it's incredible. Somehow it happened. I don't know how.
Yeah. So I guess the point of the story is, even though we're not even talking about movies anymore, is if you know the news is all bad news because that's what their job is. Their job is to give you bad news. Look at things in your own perspective. Yes.
So that's why I like reading or listening to like entertainment news or... Even just, like, looking at the sports section, I'm like, you know, this stuff's meaningless, but at least it's usually
not
something that's going to be a freaking downer. You know, it's like, oh, this team, you know, pulled out the win in the ninth inning or, you know, some crap like that. You know, it's like, or a guy blew a save in a baseball game, and it's like, well, that's not the end of the world, whatever.
Right.
You know, it's kind of sad, but, you know, it's like, if they're not going to put any good news on, then I don't need to bother... Listening to what they have to say.
Well, let's segue this into our final topic.
Yeah,
Hollywood's domestic or box office has been going down year after year, and this year it's down 7% already.
Yes.
And likely at the end of the year, they will blame it on gas prices. But is that really the reason?
Well, and their new scapegoat that they're going to start to have is video games.
Oh, not piracy of movies? That used to be it, too.
Because, you know, people were already starting to talk about, like, Grand Theft Auto against Iron Man, because Grand Theft Auto comes out just, like, a few days before Iron Man, and so people are like, oh, is this, you know, going to have, like, a big effect on Iron Man's box office? It's like they're already starting to set up the scapegoat in case Iron Man isn't a huge success.
Oh, I mean, they're managing expectations?
Yes, because then they can say, oh, well... You know, there's this game that came out a few days before, and it made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
I want to get that game, and I should probably pre-order it, and I want to see Iron Man, so I'll just, you know, spend 3 hours that weekend and go see Iron Man. It's not like I can't do both, for crying out loud. Oh, I forgot. Gas is going to be $90 a gallon, you know, at the end of the month, so...
No, just four. Not by the end of the month, though, but...
I don't know. I think I'm going to win that bet.
I don't know.
I'd like to win the bet. See, I'm being optimistic. I'm usually not, but sometimes I am. Anyway, there's probably other reasons beyond gas, because people still continue to drive their big, dumb SUVs with gas prices. So maybe it's, you know, maybe it's because movies suck usually. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And the home video market they were just talking about.
Well, it's like I was trying to think about this year... What movies... Like, I think the last movie I saw was There Will Be Blood in the theater, and that was, like, late January or early February, I think. And technically that was a 07 movie.
Right.
But it's like I saw that, and then we went to that stupid Dungeon Siege movie in January.
Yes!
Just because we wanted to have like a shitty movie night in the theater. But
Part 2.
Yeah. Which I think Aeon Flux was much more enjoyable, but...
It was much more cleave-tastic.
But, it's like, you know, so far, it's almost 4 months into the year now, and I think those are the only two times I've wandered into a theater this year, and the one time I didn't really even want to go.
It always seems like a pain going to movies.
Yeah. But it's like, this summer, I have to admit, this summer looks like it could be the best summer in a good many years, because you've got, like, Iron Man, Indy 4, which, even though I'm not overly optimistic about
it... Everyone's gonna go see it.
I'll go see it, because it is Spielberg, and he doesn't make shit. And then you've got Dark Knight, you've got WALL-E...
Yes!
There's probably something
Hellboy
else.
2
oh, Hellboy 2
awesome.
Is in there, yep. So, I mean, that's a pretty good... slate of movies, really.
Wow, some of those aren't even sequels. Well,
yeah.
Well, two of them.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, what, Iron Man and WALL-E, I guess?
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, it's actually looking like it could be a fairly strong summer, which is nice to see, because lately it's been
well, it's kind of stupid. Hollywood wanked itself off over how much money it made from DVD, and then it wonders why its box office goes down, you know? One can't inflate while the other one also inflates, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you've got this jar full of oil and water, and there's more of one, there has to be less of the other. So if they enjoy all their DVD receipts, that's going to come at the cost of box office, you know?
Well, it's just like with the stock market when everybody freaks out when it goes down. And it's like, well...
It has to go
natural.
Down, because otherwise, why does it matter when it goes up?
Yeah, it's like it's got to happen. Look over history, you know?
Wow, there's been a lot of political shit in this episode.
Yeah, but... But yeah, because I just saw something the other day, and I think they said so far this year the box office is down like roughly 3% in revenue or whatever, and then it's down almost 7% in terms of attendance.
Well, because the ticket prices keep going up. That's probably why there's a difference there.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, yeah, like I said, it's like, what the hell has there been so far this year to go and see, really? I mean, there's been a couple of movies where I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing
that. That Cloverfield movie made money.
Yeah, it tanked pretty good after its opening weekend, though.
Well, that's right. Wasn't that the one where they had the thing at the theater that said, you may experience vomiting during this
movie? Yeah, because people actually got sick and stuff because of the shaky cam. But, you know, it's like there's been a couple of movies here and there where I was kind of like, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but it's, you know, nothing I'm going to run out to the theater and see. I'll, you know... watch it on Netflix when it comes out on DVD, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They just, I don't know, there just aren't a lot of movies anymore where you feel like, yes, I want to see that in the theater. Like, I need to see that in the theater.
So do you think that's Hollywood or you?
I think it's Hollywood. Because every now and then there's still a movie where, you know, like The Fountain, I really wanted to see that in the theater. There Will Be Blood. You know, again, these are more, like, artsy, edgier movies, I guess, and although I've always liked those types of movies, but it seems like the blockbuster type movies just aren't that cool anymore. I don't know.
They're all like watered down and homogenized and not very interesting.
Well, that's right. That was another topic we were going to have, although we won't be able to fit it into this podcast, but it was going to be movies you regret not seeing in the theater, remember?
Oh, and then I wanted to make it so that it had to be a movie you could have seen, but didn't. Like, you can't say, you know, Lawrence Arabia, because obviously, you know, we weren't born yet, but, like, Sin City, I wish I would have saw in the theater.
Yeah. And, like, Batman Begins, I was just thinking, I wish I would have seen that in the theater.
Oh, hell, I even saw that in the theater.
For whatever reason, I didn't go to that, and I don't know why.
Hmm.
I loved it when I saw it on DVD.
I think I saw The Prestige in the theater, too.
Nice.
Yeah, I did.
I liked that movie a lot, too.
But did I? Yeah, I did. Wait, did I? Yes, I did, because it had Nikola Tesla in it.
Of course. But, maybe it's kind of a combination of me and Hollywood. I don't know. Maybe because I'm getting... I think maybe it is partially me, because I'm getting older. You know, I've gone into the 30-year-old demographic, which, of course, isn't Hollywood's target anymore. You know, I've grown out of that 15 to 25 year old sweet spot demographic. So, you know, maybe they aren't, you know, making as many movies that appeal to me anymore. It's entirely possible. Although at the same time, I'm interested in stuff like Iron Man, which you would think would be just directly catering to that 15 to 25 group, but...
Iron Man is about an asshole guy who builds a robot suit to fight evil.
Ben will be there.
I will be there!
But
I really want to see that. That's funny when he's in the truck. He's like, no gang symbols. I'm kidding. Put it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
But I don't know. How do you feel about that? You've never been big on going to the theater anyway for movies, really.
I used to. I mean, before you like really knew me, I used to go a lot. But
oh, yeah.
The big thing with me is... I know it sounds like something like a parent would say, and I'm obviously not a parent, but it just takes so much time.
Yeah.
There's a theater. I mean, literally, we could drive there in 5 minutes,
yeah,
start a cinema, but it still seems to take so much goddamn time. It's like the same reason I don't like airplanes, flying.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, the airplane is really fast, but you have to go to the, you know, airport, like, you know, an hour ahead of time, and then go through security, which usually doesn't take that long, actually, then sit there and wait.
Yep.
Then you get on the plane and wait before it takes off. Then it lands, and you wait. And then it goes up to the terminal, and you wait.
And then you get off the plane, and then you wait for your luggage, and so on and so forth, yeah. But
you see what I mean?
Yeah, it is true, because...
It's not even really the cost, even though the... I don't know. It's... Well, I'm not really a big movie guy, even though I like to direct movies, or at least I used to.
Well, yeah, you kind of, you know, made the comment earlier today that was kind of interesting to think about, which was that you were like, well, remember when, you know, you were younger and stuff, and it wasn't, like, a big deal to drive to, because we used to live out in Richland Center, which is, like, 60 miles away from where any good
right.
movie shows up on opening weekend or whatever, and we, you know, it would be, like, no big deal to be like, oh, yeah, you know, such and such, you know, Phantom Menace comes out this weekend or whatever, you know, let's
yep.
roll down to Madison, and we'd, you know, blast down to Madison, see the movie, go to Best Buy or whatever, you know, and it was kind of like a mini adventure, I guess, maybe, because, you know,
right.
it was like some quest, where now it's like, even though the movie theater is only 5 minutes away, which, you know, before it used to take us like an hour to get to the movie theater, but even though it's only 5 minutes away now, it just seems like some big undertaking to go, because usually we're like, oh, well, let's get something to eat too, and all this crap.
You know, that's exactly it. Like, there'll be all the times, like, you and Dale go see a movie, and, you know, I mean, you never really ask me if I want to go, because usually I never do, which is fine. But yeah, like, let's say you guys leave at 3 o'clock to see a movie that plays at 5. It's like, you probably won't be back till 8.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it is like,
yeah, it's like
look
five
at all that
hours,
time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing that's weird is even movies I want to see, if I don't see them opening weekend, I won't see them in the theater.
Yeah, that
like,
happens.
I Am Legend, I wanted to see that in the theater, but I didn't, so...
Yeah, I kind of have that, too, because that was kind of how, like, Batman Begins was, because I did want to see that, but for whatever reason, you know, things just didn't work out to see it that opening weekend, and I just never wound up seeing it.
It's almost like it's not cool to see it if it's not opening weekend.
Yeah.
I know, well, maybe that's not kind of weird.
I don't know
but...
if, yeah... It just yeah, maybe it just seems like if you don't see it opening weekend, then it's like, well, screw it, I didn't see it then, I guess I can wait for DVD. It doesn't really make any sense, but...
But the thing is, I don't watch very many movies at home either. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Right, probably differentiate from you somewhat, but...
Yeah.
It's just... Well, you know, it's kind of a commitment, too. It's like, wow, I've got to sit here for 2 hours, or nowadays, it's like every fucking movie is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And... You know, or if you're at home, there's a lot of different things you could do within two hours,
yep.
You know? So maybe that's part of it, so.
Yeah, and one thing, too, I think we've kind of brought it up before, but it's like, there aren't really that many good comedies anymore, you know, which I think is kind of part of the problem, too. It's like...
With box office?
Box office and everything. I mean, it's like you have the occasional Knocked Up come out and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, because when it comes to, like, people who don't care about movies, which is most everybody, sorry, Hollywood, the movies they like are comedies.
Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't, you know, like Wedding Crashers came out a couple of years ago that made big money. You know, there was, of course, there's something about Mary way back when, 10 years ago now already.
Meet the Parents was big.
Yeah, both of those. You know, and it's, you know, they work because they're actually funny and they hit like a large cross section of audience. You know, it wasn't just like one group. You know, like where a movie like Hellboy 2, yeah, it's going to be cool, but they're very much targeting like a very select audience of that movie. And of course, it's, well, it has comedic elements to it. It's not a flat out comedy, but you kind of get what I'm getting at. Like Superbad, for instance, funny movie, but it kind of targets a smaller segment of the population.
Well, you know what I think they kind of miss is some movies that aren't even comedies, like Titanic. I mean, it was actually funnier than a lot of comedies.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I know, you know, everybody hates that movie now, but I mean, when that was in the theater, people were like just rolling with laughter in certain parts of that movie.
Yeah.
But, and or like Indiana Jones had lots of funny parts in it and stuff, and it's like, why not just do it all? You know?
Yeah.
Like, look at Titanic. It's a movie that made you laugh and made you cry, and you kissed $5 goodbye.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies have been successful. I mean, especially, like, the first one, because the second one just sucked, and I haven't seen the third one, but they, it was an adventure story, but it kind of, you know, harkened to, like, you know, the Back to the Futures or the Indiana Joneses, mm-hmm. where it would interject comedy throughout it.
And Mummy.
Well, and Mummy, of course. And,
that's another thing, you know, I always harp on. Movies that try to are always being too tame and too like wimpy and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're always fighting bugs or monsters or robots because, you know, heaven forbid we shoot people.
Yeah.
Then you have a movie like The Mummy or Pirates of the Caribbean. They go around killing people and nobody cares. They love it. You know,
yeah.
It's not like Hollywood, I think, is more worried about being politically correct than the audience.
Yeah.
And I think that causes a lot of movies to be overly safe and boring when they don't need to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, Pirates of the Caribbean was had a freaking Disney logo in the front of it. You had people being shot point blank, and but guess what? Nobody cares!
Yep, and it worked.
Yep. Because you can have comedy and violence, and you should have the whole gamut, because that's what people like. That's life.
Yeah.
So, I guess we probably better wrap this up, but the moral of the story is, Hollywood, make better movies, and stop being so worried about what people will think.
Yeah, just make cool shit.
See, that's like our movie idea, Alien Hunter. First and foremost, I want it to be fun and funny.
Yeah.
You know?
And it'll kick ass.
Yep, if I ever write it. All right, well, that's it for this podcast. We'll try to get back to a regular schedule by eating lots of fiber. And, yeah, we'll also try to get BenHeck.com working better. So, until next time, goodbye.
Farewell.
Very well. Should help you download a ROM.